Hey, this is Rob Ansbach, and welcome back to another edition of eHeroes for those keeping count. This is episode 407, and if you know anything about 407, it's the area code to Orlando, and that's where we're heading down now. And so I want to introduce you to Ichabod Bones. During the day, he's a YouTuber for, a Disney YouTuber, and at night, he's a Walt Disney World bus driver, but his tag is the Incognito Mouse on YouTube. So go check him out. But as he always tells everybody, just call him Icky. So welcome to the show, and thanks for being here.
Thank you. Thank you so much. It's an honor. I'm glad to be here.
You know, I like I was saying off air, I enjoyed your videos. I think you take a different approach to what you do, what you say about Disney, only because you're a cast member.
Right.
You know, and I think there's a lot of people who watch you only because they want to know the secrets. Now, I think the one of your last videos where you were talking about, tickets and where your relatives are coming out of the woodwork, or friends you've never heard of for a long time wanting free tickets. You can't do that.
Right. I get messages from people I work with literally 5-6 years ago, or family members I haven't seen in years. My ex-father-in-law expecting me to give him tickets, or things like that. I mean, we do have some tickets, like I mentioned in the video, but it's not as many as maybe some people think. But it's interesting, and every cast member knows about this. If any cast member watches it, they're shaking their head and they're nodding in agreement, because it happens. Even people who know cast members who will say, "Hey, ask your friend for me."
Yeah, I have friends who are Club 33 members, and they'll invite us to lunch. And in fact, when I took the group of entrepreneurs down to Disney in January on a bonus day, because we had a free day, he said, "Look, I'm going to take you all to the parks, give you lightning lanes. We're going to have lunch, and then you guys can go do whatever you want." That's different, because those tickets are paid by, VIP members of Club 33.
Right.
It's different than just a regular cast member. But
exactly.
As I watch some of your videos, though, you recently came back to Disney. You had worked at Universal, I'm not a big fan of Universal. I know people go there for the new rides, the Harry Potter, but for me personally, when I go to Universal, the cast members they're not called cast members there. but they're just not as friendly. That's just my feeling. I think with Disney, it's a little different because it's ingrained in them that they're supposed to be that way. They're supposed to, make sure that they're empowered to answer all the questions that people have.
There's just something about being a Disney cast member. I feel like it's kind of an elite club. It's almost like once a cast member, always a cast member. And I feel like most people who go to work at Disney go there because they are big Disney fans. Mm-hmm. I think a lot of people who work at Universal, they call them team members there. They go there because they may be theme park enthusiasts and it's a job to them, but most Disney cast members, like I moved to Florida from New Jersey specifically to drive a bus for Walt Disney World. That's the only reason I came here. I was driving a bus up north. I came here on vacation one time, sitting at the pool at All Stars, thinking I'm going home in a week to a blizzard. And I'm going to be scraping ice and snow off my school bus. Why don't I just come here and drive a bus here? And so I did, because I love Disney.
Yeah, I'm up in Pennsylvania, and we go down to Disney, once or twice a year. And it wasn't always that way. I mean, it started out in 2000. We went once. 5 years later, we went another time. And then 5 years later. And then after, I think, 2015, we went to Disneyland twice and then came back. And now it's every year. Now my kids are going, my grandkids are going, and I think once it gets in your system, you just got to go. And people are like, "Well, Rob, you're kind of old. Why do you love Disney?" Because I feel like a kid again.
Brings back that nostalgia. You think about watching The Fox and the Hound or Robin Hood or Pinocchio when you were a kid. It just brings back the joy from childhood.
Yeah. So, why the YouTube channel? I mean, like you said, you moved from Jersey to Florida to be a bus driver.
Right. So I actually started this YouTube channel a long, almost 18 years ago, way before I even had any thoughts of doing Disney. I was doing other content back then. I used to be a minister, a youth minister at a church, and I used to do like little Bible studies or lessons, or I had this thing where I would take modern day hip hop or rap songs or pop songs, and I would convert them into Christian lyrics, almost like a Christian Weird Al, for fun, for myself. The kids in the youth group loved it. But then it kind of went dormant for several years, and I started driving a bus. I started driving a school bus because a lot of times church work doesn't pay very well, so you have to work a part-time job doing something else. And then after I moved to Florida, I kind of took a YouTube channel that was dormant for many years, and I said, hey, what if I just start making YouTube videos as a Disney cast member? Like you mentioned before, there are 1,000 Kyle Palos and Tim Trackers and mm-hmm. JoJo's and whoever else. But how many people are making videos as a cast member, sharing their journeys and adventures as a cast member point of view? It's a unique niche and a unique angle that I think people would enjoy watching, and I would enjoy making. And I do have a little bit of an entrepreneur in me, not as much, but I've always had little side hustles going throughout my life. And so I thought I maybe eventually could make this into a form of income. And mm-hmm. so I just really enjoy it. I enjoy the interaction, and it's fun going to the parks, filming different rides or explaining different aspects of my job and kind of behind the scenes as a cast member as much as I can without saying anything that, you know, could eventually get me in trouble. But I just really enjoy it.
Yeah. No, it's, and you're not always at the same location. You know, you bounce around, you learn the routes and in fact, one of your videos was the bus breaking down.
Right.
And to me, those are the stories that I think people that really want to know the behind the scenes magic, you know, they didn't know buses broke down. They didn't know This is the procedure. And you explained it to them, you know, like a normal person would.
Right.
And to me, that's fascinating.
It's kind of the evolution of my channel. I first came to Disney in 2020. I worked here through the COVID and the lockdowns and the furloughs. I left in mid-2022 for some personal reasons. And I took my YouTube channel with me, and I moved out to the West Coast of Oregon. I'm from California originally, Disneyland kid, you know. But I moved to Oregon for some personal reasons, and I kept doing my YouTube channel, but I noticed lots of people were unsubscribing. They were leaving. They weren't watching. They wanted the Disney content. So I purposed it in my heart that eventually someday I would like to get back to Disney again. But I used to just walk around and show rides and show food like any other YouTuber.
Yeah.
But the channel has kind of evolved. And I've learned that there are certain things that people would want to hear, the behind the scenes stories that I didn't always share, or just how we deal with different things, how different bus routes work. And now I'm getting a lot of questions. People are leaving questions in the comments. Hey, do you have to have a CDL? What are the training procedures? You know, what's the best experience you've ever had? What's the worst experience you've ever had? So people are feeding me content. I'm just taking their questions and crafting them into stories, just telling stories about my life. And it's a lot of fun.
Yeah. What's your favorite restaurant there on property?
You know, I haven't eaten at a lot of the restaurants because I live on a bus driver salary right now. But we went to Brown Derby one time at Epcot, and that was really nice.
Yeah,
I really enjoyed that.
You know, I took this group of entrepreneurs to Disney World, I took them to a bunch of restaurants, and Boma was one of them. I love Boma. The problem with Boma is that it's too crowded. You know, I like the location of Animal Kingdom Lodge. I love all that. But you're sitting there competing with hundreds of other people in a restaurant. It's like, you know, sometimes I just want to sit down and have peace and quiet. And it's hard to do that at Disney. But there are some areas in Disney that if you explored them, you'd find that they're a little bit more peaceful. I mean, I love miniature golfing at Disney because usually there's not a lot of people around. You know, it's quiet. And you don't feel like you're in a resort. It's just, but yeah, you know, I it's funny. I wore this shirt. I posed it with this shirt in front of Tom Sawyer's Island fort, the fort that was there,
right.
A couple weeks before it was scheduled for demolition. So at least I have that memory. And, you know, people were like, well, why did they get rid of it? That's nostalgia. The reason they got rid of it is because people weren't going over there. Disney tracks all that stuff, just like they track the buses, just like they track the rides. If they don't see interest, they're going to get rid of it.
Right. If they can put something in there that has more capacity, that will fit more crowds, will draw more people, a better return on investment, a Cars Land that's going to be very popular. It's sad for a lot of people. Even the boat that went around the water, the Liberty Bell, I believe it's called, not a lot of people rode that. I hardly ever rode it, but it was still something nostalgic that you liked to see, even though it's gone. And I hardly ever rode it. I still wish it was still there. Same with Tom Sawyer Island. It was quiet. It was a place in the middle of the day if your babies or your children were tired, they were overstimulated. You could go over there and go in the caves, and it was cool, and it was quiet. It was a nice place to get away. There, those places are becoming less and less. But if you know where to look, you can find them every now and then.
Yeah. The you know, I think one of my biggest disappointments, and you probably get this every day now, was riding the buses and the boats to get various places. You know, I never took that advantage of parking at Disney Springs and taking a bus or a boat to the parks, because I knew, hey, you know, to me, it never made sense. Because if you want a rope drop, you can't park at Disney Springs. You're never going to get there on time. But what I would do is I would go to Disney Springs and resort hop, or I would go over to, you know, up to Sescagula and go to Port Orleans and get some beignets. You can't do that now unless you're a resort, you know, you're staying on resort property. So, you know, they took some of these elements away that I think are going to decrease the amount of money that comes to them, but maybe they don't care. Maybe it's because they want to give a better experience to the people that are staying there.
I think that's the big debate. I've talked about that in several of my videos recently and had a lot of people on both sides of the fence highly debated. I think Disney has always been big on keeping people inside the Disney bubble, keeping them on their resorts and keeping them in their parks. And so if you're staying at a Disney resort, whether it's a $1,200 a night Grand Floridian or it's a $250 a night All-Star Resort, you still have access to do all the park hopping you want, just not from Disney Springs.
Yeah.
You can go from the Art of Animation to the Grand Floridian, look at the gingerbread. Well, not the big gingerbread house because they're not doing that anymore, but they're going to have smaller ones. But I think what they're trying to cut down on is people that are staying at the Best Western or at the Econo Lodge down the street who aren't staying in the Disney bubble, who are then coming to Disney Springs to enjoy all the amenities of their parks when you're not paying to be in their resorts. I think that's what they're cutting. I think it's more locals who are just going there to visit, who aren't paying into the economy, or people who are staying at cheaper off-property hotels that are trying to enjoy the things that are being paid for by resort guests and their room fares.
Yeah. I mean, one of the things that I did is I parked at the TTC, and then I took my guests over to Art of Animation without a bus. You can't do that now, you know? But I took them around to various resorts so that they get an idea of the marketing that Disney does.
Right.
You know, because I think they're the biggest, you know, really, that when it comes to marketing, nobody does it better than Disney, you know? So
I agree.
But, you know, they had these policies in place for, I don't know, long time. And granted, you know, COVID changed a lot. It really did. But I think what happened over, you know, after COVID, then they found that the parks were too crowded, you know, and I think by upping the prices, by taking away some of these benefits, they're realizing that, hey, the parks aren't as crowded now. And maybe they're still making as much money.
I think it's basic business. I think if you can raise the prices and people will still pay, then just keep raising the prices until you reach the point where they won't pay anymore. Mm-hmm. And they haven't reached that point yet, so they're just going to keep on raising prices until people start going to Epic Universe instead or just don't come to Disney. They haven't reached that point yet, so Why would they stop raising prices?
Mm-hmm. You know, my favorite, some of my favorite experiences, though, are riding the bus, talking to the drivers, getting their perspective. And some of them do talk. Some of them don't.
Yeah.
You know, I believe you're the type of person that would share information, would talk to the riders. But there was a few that wouldn't. And funny thing is that in 2000, and I remember this because we were staying at Fort Wilderness. And the buses that, you know, you got the inner loop and you got the outer loop. We got on one bus and the one guy goes, "Welcome to the world's biggest human trap operated by a mouse." And that cracked me up. I was just laughing. The guy was telling jokes the whole time. And I mean, he probably tells the same jokes to everybody. But to me, that made the experience so much better.
Right. Yeah. Some drivers do, like you said, some are a little bit more introverted or quiet or safety focused, but some really do make it a show. I'm kind of in between balance. I love talking to my guests and kind of joking when they're getting on the bus and when they're getting off. And if they're standing up front and they strike up a conversation with me, then I'll talk to them. But I'm not one to tell jokes and initiate conversations. But some do, and it does make for a great experience, almost like you're riding the Jungle Cruise, but you're on your bus.
Yeah. So, you know, now that you have this YouTube channel, well, you've had it for a while, but people are starting to recognize you in the parks. How does that make you feel?
It's kind of strange. Like, you always watch these big YouTubers, and you think, oh, that's just them. And I'm not by any means a big YouTuber, but I will say that now at least every couple of days, a guest will come up, "Hey, Icky, hey, Incognito Mouse, how are you?" And it's a lot of fun. I have always enjoyed the interaction on this channel with my viewers, with the comments, with the live stream, you know, interacting with people. So to have that interaction in real life, it's a lot of fun. I really enjoy it.
But like you said, you know, it's kind of like, you know, Batman and Bruce Wayne. You have this dual identity. And right. You know, you have to be careful what you do while you're on Disney property as a cast member in the capacity of a bus driver.
Right. Absolutely. Disney never wants the attention taken off of them. Mm-hmm. So if ever became that I was so big that I drew attention away, then it may potentially become a problem. But I don't know. I think they want their bus drivers to be friendly and interact with people anyway. So I don't think that they would ever really see it as a problem. But who knows? I enjoy what I'm doing now, and I enjoy interacting with all my guests.
But do you have long hours at night?
No, typically our shifts are 6-7 hours, 7 to 8 hours at the most. What? We have rules, we have laws, DOT laws that govern. We can't work more than a certain amount of hours. We can't drive more than 10 hours. But Disney doesn't usually put us anywhere near that. Maybe 8 hours, 8.5 hours at the longest is a typical bus driver shift.
Yeah, but you get to learn all the different resorts. Or are you primary at 2 or 3?
Yeah. So I primarily drive out of Animal Kingdom. But from there, I go to all the different resorts that Animal Kingdom services, which is all the resorts. And when you're in training, the training is an extensive six weeks, I think, of training. The first 3 weeks, they drill you on DOT to get your DOT, your CDL, which I already had mine. But they still want to make sure that you know the ins and outs of the bus, how to pass a DOT pre-trip and a driving test. But then you spend about 3 weeks, 8 hours a day, 40 hours a week, just driving around property, learning all the resorts, where the buses come in, where they go out, all the parks, where you come in, where you come out. So by the end of 3 weeks, man, you could drive anywhere in that resort in your sleep. And you know 5 different ways to get from any park to any resort. If there's ever a traffic backup or an accident, and they send you a message and say, take an alternate route, you know where to go automatically. There's never a driver, unless they were just not paying attention during training, that's not going to know their way around that entire property like the back of their hand.
So no GPS on the buses?
I mean, they do have it as a backup if you need it. They didn't used to, but they have added it as a backup emergency just in case somehow you get lost. But the GPS only has the preferred route that they want you to go. If you deviate from that route, you're on your own. It doesn't show you. It doesn't recalculate like your GPS in your car or on your phone. It just shows the one line. This is the way you go. And if you go some other way, you're out of luck.
Yeah, I remember years ago, we were late for a reservation. I forget what restaurant, but we got on the bus. We got on the wrong bus. And we were the only ones in the bus. Driver said, "Where are you going?" And I told him, I said, we're kind of late. And he says, "Well, you got on the wrong bus." I said, "I'm sorry." He goes, "You're not going to make it." He goes, "Let me make a call." And he made a call and he diverted whatever he was supposed to be doing and took us to where we were going. And I thought that was the best experience ever.
Yeah.
Here a driver was supposed to have a certain route, certain time. And I don't know if they even do that anymore, because now you go to different resorts and they got the signs, displays, this is when the next bus is coming, and everything is on schedule. So I don't know if it was his last run of the night. I don't know any of the details, but all I know is that he took his time to take us where we needed to go. And I thought that was the coolest thing.
Yeah. All of our routes are scheduled for the entire day. We have our entire day already mapped out for us. So we are on a to the minute schedule for the entire day. However, dispatch gives us the freedom. If something like that happens, we can call them and ask them for permission. And if everything else is working smoothly and it's okay for us to do that, they will 90% of the time give us the go ahead. They call it making magic for the guests, right? Go ahead and make magic for the guests. And I've done that before many times, and we love doing those kind of things.
Yeah. You know, to me, that's, you guys have more power, I think, than regular cast members, because, you know, you have to get them to wherever they're going. And, you know, granted, some of them aren't happy. Some of them are exhausted. And, mm-hmm. and you got parents that are already upset because their kids aren't enjoying it. And so maybe right. not having a conversation is the best. But, you know, sometimes you guys can work the magic better than anyone else.
Yeah, sometimes the kids are cranky, they're tired. Like you said, people are running late for reservations, and we try our best. I saw one day a little boy was on the bus late at night, had to get off the bus because nature was calling. So his dad took him and he ran off into a bush somewhere and he handled his business. You know, sometimes things just happen. And I shook my head and said, well, you know, okay, little guy, you got to do what you got to do. And they got back on the bus and away we went.
Yeah, I remember I had taken my grandson. We were in line for Flight of Passage. And this is before they even put that other bathroom in. So we were already in line for a couple hours. And by the time we get to the midpoint, he's already wet himself. And and the funny, the following year, they put that bathroom in. And I guess a lot of kids were having that same issue.
Not only kids, adults were just leaving messes.
Yeah, it's just
soiling themselves all in the line. It was getting bad and stinky and just nasty.
Yeah, but
a 4-hour wait. What do you expect, people? You know, what do you expect?
Yeah, it's. But you know, I remember going to Disney Springs before they even had that bus depot, before they had all that.
Right.
And you know, yes, now it seems to simplify everything, but you know, it. I don't remember how confusing it was back then when they didn't have that, you know, and maybe you don't either, because that's been there for at least 5-6 years or longer.
Right. There was another bus depot back in the back on the west side, back behind the Disney Days of Christmas by the Arch store, back in the way and other side. There's a smaller bus that they used to use, but it wasn't nearly as much as it is now, back when they had Pleasure Island and when it was called Downtown Disney way back in the day.
Mm-hmm.
But it's evolved quite a bit since then.
Oh yeah. The you know, and I don't know if you're, you know, I'm sure somebody else takes care of all the signage inside the buses, but you know, I enjoy sitting in those buses and looking at what's coming, and you know, the advertisements to the new movies or TV shows. Oh, right. and to me you know, the last few times I've gone, I've never had a stand up. I've always sat down. The buses weren't as crowded, you know.
Right.
And maybe that's what they're trying to do, because there for a while, you know, you get on, and this was going back, I think, before COVID, buses were standing room only.
Always, yeah.
You know, I don't know how it is now. I look at some of the videos from the other Disney YouTubers, and it doesn't look as crowded as it used to be.
No, I think mainly at park close at the end of the night, it gets busy for maybe an hour or two. But during the day, most of the time, maybe for half an hour in the morning when the parks first open, it'll be a little busy, the first couple, you know, bus runs. But after that, it's pretty slow all throughout the day.
And no, I've heard I remember Animal Kingdom, though, being open later. Now it seems to be closing earlier.
I don't know. I know it closes at 6 o'clock most nights. And from what I've heard, it's because of the animals. When it gets dark, they need to go to sleep or whatever, but it's not even dark at 6 o'clock in Florida, yeah. which is a shame because a Pandora land is beautiful at night.
Yeah. And they have that, special luminescence on the ground that lights up at night. And I'm like, well, nobody sees it because it's dark.
Maybe 1 month out of the year when it gets dark at 5 o'clock in the dead of winter, maybe.
Yeah. So it's, you know, now going back to your YouTube channel, do you put out stuff every day? Do you put out, you know, do you try to put out content a lot? Or because I know some of the other ones, they're starting to put out like let's say JoJo, he was doing it a couple times a week. And then I guess recently he upped it to every day. Maybe he needs more money. I don't know.
Maybe. Yeah. I'm trying to fall into a comfortable pattern right now. Over the last month, my channel has really caught a lot of traction and it's become a lot more popular. Before that, it was very small, very insignificant. And I would just put out a video whenever I could. Now that it's legitimately becoming an actual form of income and more of a part-time job in a way, a little bit of an entrepreneur side, I'm trying to settle on 3 recorded videos a week and 1 live stream a week. Monday nights, I'm going live at the Magic Kingdom after I get off work because my wife is still at work for a couple hours. So I'll go and do a live stream there until it closes. And then I'm settling on either putting out videos, you know, every other day, every Monday, Wednesday, Friday, or every Tuesday, Thursday, and Saturday. I'm trying to figure it out. But that's going to be probably the layout of my schedule going forward. 3 videos and a live stream a week.
Now, do you do all your own editing as well?
I do. I have no. I do it right here on my phone. I edit right on my phone.
Wow. And the graphics?
Yeah, I just use AI for most of them.
Nice. You know, and you know, for the audience listening, you know, you don't have to be super professional when you do YouTube videos. You know, but you have to be consistent, and you have to have an audience that's already receptive. Like you said, you started your YouTube video or your YouTube channel long ago. And it didn't catch on until you saw the demand that, you know, filming Disney was, you know, and since you're already there, why not?
Right.
You know, but I did see a couple of your videos where you preface that these are your thoughts, not Disney's. But you haven't done that in a while.
Yeah, I probably should. I probably should get back to that. It's not because I shouldn't, just because I don't think about it. Disney is very particular about what you say and what you don't say on social media, and they make it very clear. I really don't think that I'm saying anything that I shouldn't say. I'm not showing anything that I shouldn't show. I don't think that Disney would ever come to me and say, hey, you're breaking our rules. You need to stop. But interesting, that's the whole reason why I came up with the Incognito Mouse name to begin with. When I used to make videos, I would always wear sunglasses and a hat so you couldn't see my face. The whole name, Ichabod Bones, is a pseudonym that I used, so I didn't want anyone to know my real name. I figured if I was ever making content that Disney didn't like, well, they wouldn't know who I was, so they couldn't say anything to me. But I very quickly realized that they're way smarter than that. And there are many, many cast members that I know of that make videos about their life, and Disney has no problem with it as long as you're not sharing behind-the-scenes information or proprietary business information. I think for the most part, they're going to be okay with it.
Yeah, you know, I wrote Marketing the Magic last year and then followed up with Embracing the Magic. And I've had people come out and say, Rob, these 2 books, I've learned more in these 2 books than Disney Institute will ever teach you. Wow. And I thought, that was pretty cool. I don't want to advertise that because I don't want Disney Institute or Disney coming after me.
But, right.
You know, nothing in there is proprietary. It's all, you know, saying how great Disney World is as a marketing engine. And you know, this is why you should, you know, embrace stuff like that. You know, but, you know, people just don't understand, I guess. And let's go back to people don't understand. I think people, because over the last few years of all the media attention, you know, and they're saying, well, I don't like Disney because of X. I don't like Disney because, look, sometimes going to Disney World isn't about the rides. It's about the experience you get everywhere else. But, you know, they don't appreciate that.
I think people get so focused on their their fast passes or their lightning lanes, and they're running. And they don't just slow down and enjoy the architecture, the amount of detail that the Imagineers have put in. I always joke around with people and I say, look, going to Disney World is not a vacation anymore. It's not. It's a destination. It's something to do, but it's not a vacation. You come home more tired from your Disney World trip than you did before you left. Yeah. You have to book your meals 6 months out. You have to book your rides 3 months out or whatever. You don't know what food you're going to be in the mood for 6 months from now. But if you don't book your meal at Beaumont now, it's not going to be there later. And so you have crowded with people who don't even know what the place serves.
We went a couple of years ago, it was just me and my wife, and we had already gotten our tickets and we booked our meals, and we're at Disney Springs. We're hanging out at some bar. It's the one with the volcano.
Oh, right. Right. Rainforests.
Rainforest. But, we're outside at the little bar and you can oversee the canal.
Right.
And the couple next to us, the guy was basically complaining because he thought that he could just stroll up to the parks and buy his tickets and do this and do that. And back then it was, you had to not only have your tickets, but register that you're going to be there that day. And he's like,
right.
They wouldn't even sell me tickets. I couldn't get in. We drove all the way down here. I'm like, you don't have internet? You don't.
Right. That was a big thing when they first implemented that reservation system. A lot of people just didn't realize that you had to make a reservation. Yeah. They thought just buying a ticket, because for many years, that's all you needed to do. Right. Your ticket is your entry. But after COVID, they implemented the reservation system. And a lot of people had traveled from, Bismarck, North Dakota or whatever, Boise, Idaho. And they show up here and they bought tickets and they can't even get into the park. Yeah. A lot of people were very upset about that. That was quite a train wreck.
Yeah, to me, I love watching some of the YouTubers, especially now. You just got to get different take on how things are. And I think it's because you're also cautious in what you have to say. The other ones, because they don't work for Disney, they just say whatever. It's like, I get it. It's your channel. You can do whatever you want, but you're also at this experience level where Disney's going to say, look, we value what you're doing, but we don't want you coming to our events anymore because you say things that are contrary to what our beliefs are. So,
right.
And I've noticed a lot of the Disney YouTubers don't get invited to certain things. Where I see the same ones over and over and over again. And I'm like, is there others? Yeah. What's going on? What happened?
Right.
Adam the Woo, who I used to watch, who passed away back in December. And, he got in trouble by Disney a few times.
And, right. I used to watch him a lot. He got kicked out for a while. He couldn't get in. And then finally they let him back in. He never was allowed back into Universal. He got kicked out of there too.
Yeah, so it's as a YouTuber, yes, you can do whatever you want. But everything that you do also has ramifications if it's, against the policies of where you're going to be filming.
And I
think sometimes they do things, this is going to really increase my likes. This is going to increase. And then they get the rug pulled out front and they don't know what's going on. Dude, you slipped behind this or you did this. I get it, but I respect the way you do things because it's just a little bit different. It's a little bit more cautious, but you're also respecting Disney's wishes.
Right. I really like to kind of pose questions to the audience and ask them for their opinion, because I find out the discussion is more healthy. I see people on both sides of an issue. Take the Disney Springs bus situation. A lot of people were very supportive of it. Finally, it's about time. Other people, we travel here from the UK every year and we would always spend 2 or 3 days. We don't stay on Disney property because it's too expensive to stay here for 3 weeks. People that come here from the UK on holiday, they stay for 3-4 weeks. I don't know how they get that much time off work, but it's a regular thing. But they would spend maybe 3 or 4 days, 5 days out of their vacation, their holiday, off property, resort hopping around, and now they can't. So I love doing videos where I pose a quandary or position, and I have people share both sides of it and get involved in the conversation without coming forward and saying, I'm a Disney representative. This is my opinion. This is what I say. I try to stay away from that. Just pose a question and let people share their thoughts. I really enjoy that.
When we go down, usually on a Sunday, we'll stop at the Celebration Diner, right in Celebration. Beautiful breakfast. They also have, the flea market that they have there. And we meet a lot of people from the UK. And, some of them do stay on property. Some of them stay. They might have a condo right there in Celebration.
Right.
There's a bunch of them that rent the same townhome or townhouses right in Celebration. And, one UK person, will spend their couple weeks, and then the next family will come in. And but it's funny to watch them because, they're trying to save money. And the things that they had hoped to do, now they can't do it because policies change. I get it, But I think they need to be a little bit more lenient on some things. And the thing is I don't know how many people were actually taking advantage of the hack to park at Disney Springs to go to the resorts. Maybe that was for after hours events, because I don't see it happening for mornings at the parks. To me, that doesn't make sense.
Right, because from Disney Springs, you couldn't catch a bus to a park until 10 o'clock anyway, right. Well after a park drop. So it's kind of pointless to do that if that's your goal.
Yeah. So, if it was an after hours thing, like Mickey's Not So Scary, maybe I get it. But, by the time you get the bus to get over there to TTC, and then from TTC over to the park, it could be an hour. Is $30 or $40 parking worth wasting all that time?
Right.
Just park at the TTC and be done with it.
I think, and this is again just my thought, I think most of the people that were using that hack were not using it to avoid parking to go to the parks. I think they were using it to go to the Grand Floridian to see the gingerbread houses, or to go to Old Key West to go have dinner at Olivia's or whatever, who weren't staying on property. I saw one comment from one person who was staying at the, I think it was Polynesian, who said, we were going to go out to the bar right there on the beach and watch the Electric Water Pageant, but we couldn't because there were like 80 people there at the bar who weren't staying at the Polynesian. We're just ordering one drink every 90 minutes so that they wouldn't get kicked out of the bar. And the whole beach was full of people who clearly weren't at the Polynesian or who weren't at any Disney resort, who were just either locals or staying down the road at the Hyatt or whatever. And so now we're paying $900 a night to stay at this resort to sit on this beach that we paid for. But these people who didn't pay that are here on our beach, the beach that they paid good money for. I think that's what the frustration was. And I think there were a lot of complaints that came in.
Yeah.
And I think that's why Disney is slowly making these changes.
Yeah. I strolled along the beach there at the Poly and the Grand Floridian but I never sat down. I never enjoyed it. I just, to me, it was strolling through. Okay, fine.
Right.
I'm staying here. Let's just keep on walking.
Exactly.
But that's me. I don't think I'd feel right not being a guest at a resort and just loitering.
And the whole pool issue, I mentioned that, I've walked through resorts, many resorts, just on my own or even doing a video showing a resort. I've walked up to the pool, opened the gate, and it opens right up. Not that I was going in, but I was just, just for curiosity. Many, many resorts that the gate was just open. And so I mentioned that in the video, and there are many people saying, not that many people are abusing the pool. But I had probably 50 people who said, I watched a whole family come in off of a bus and wait for someone to open the gate and come in behind them, or just open the gate and just stay there all day, who clearly weren't staying at the resort. Now, it says anecdotal. Can it be proven? No, probably not. But the perception is, at least, that a lot of people are not staying at a resort and they're using that pool.
Yeah. Well, you know, it's we've had a tradition of where, you know, every couple of years we would go to Fort Wilderness because that's the resort that we started out with back in 2000. And we used to camp there a lot. So we go there and we'll do the restaurant there, the
Hoop-de-doo review in the back.
Hoop-de-doo review. And then we'll go over and do the marshmallows with Chip and Dale.
Mm-hmm, right.
Well, can't do that now because you got a 3-hour window. And if you take the bus, you know, you got to get back to the bus. And so you're going to miss out on some of that things that you used to do unless I drive in.
Right. And, that's a beautiful resort, by the way. During the holidays, so many people who are staying there decorate their RVs more extravagant than most people decorate their homes. It's unbelievable.
Yeah. And to watch some of the golf cart parades where they decorate their stuff, I mean, it's just incredible. Contrast that with Port Orleans. And, you know, when I took the group, the boat ride to Port Orleans, my guests, two of them were from Australia, and they said that boat ride was their funnest experience.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Right. And so it takes 25 minutes to drive, you know, to boat up to the next resort. And I treated them to beignets and some other things. And you can't do that now either. And I get it. You want to be able to have that experience to each resort. But I think what's going to happen is those people who came in, because they had tickets to the parks, they wanted something other stuff to do. Maybe they weren't staying on property, okay? But they're still going to go in and spend money.
Right. Okay?
They're going to buy merch. They're going to buy food. They're going to and now when I look at these videos, some of these resorts are dead. And I'm like, maybe they're going to change things back. I don't know, but you as the bus driver or the boat driver, I'm glad this is the way it is. You're not policing the people. You're still being friendly. You're still being, you know, your joyous self. It's they have other people there being the gatekeeper.
Right.
You know, because I don't think everybody should have to be policemen, really.
Right. That happens long before they get on my bus. And honestly, I wouldn't have time to check every person's key card or their registration. Like I said, we're on a very tight schedule. I have to go.
Yeah. So, you know, what's next for you? I mean, I know that you're this brilliant bus driver and now you're this brilliant YouTuber. Do you have any other aspirations?
And I just want to keep seeing if this YouTube channel will continue to grow, keep sharing my stories and adventures. I love my job. I moved back. You know, I told you I moved here to do this job and I had some family issues that required me to leave for a while, but I had every intention of coming back and doing it again. And this is a retirement job. Being a bus driver at Disney is a retirement job. And I'm getting closer to that retirement age. And so I think this is what I would just love to do.
Yeah, you know, my goal is always
driving a bus, making videos. Maybe my channel will evolve over the years as it has and continue to evolve. My wife and I have decided we're going to start going to a different, our goal is to go to a different Disney resort and do every Disney resort eventually and do a room review and a restaurant review and a property review and make that part of our video series because people love doing those.
Yeah.
And it's just a goal to stay at every resort. And now it is getting to the point where the ad revenue from this YouTube channel will pay for those room resorts, especially if I get a cast member discount on the rooms and on the food, I can make these videos and get paid to do it.
Right. And it's a tax deduction.
Right.
Because it's a business expense now.
Exactly.
Yeah. It's about a year and a half ago, I guess it was, I interviewed Yeehaw Bob Jackson, who was at the Port Orleans, I guess, Riverside.
Right.
And it was great because I've seen him perform and I just thought this was great. And You know, he's playing music throughout the interview, and he created a song for E-Heroes, which I thought was brilliant. You know, and it's funny because Disney allows different people within their structure to become their own celebrities.
Right.
You know, and then you have TJ, who's this magnificent chef down at Fort Wilderness for a short bit, and then he went over to Beach Club, I think. And people follow him wherever he's going, you know, and he makes these giant, you know, vegan desserts that freaked my daughter out because she was expecting something really small. Mm-hmm. It was this great big thing, you know, but, and I think you're going to be like one of those, you know, people are going to come to Disney just to see you.
Right.
You know,
that's amazing. That's humbling. It's incredible.
Yeah. And you know, I've written books, and I make videos too, not Disney videos, but I get noticed every now and then, and it freaks me out. I flew into Dallas Airport, and I hear this, rah! But I'm like, run. No, it's
right. Yeah.
Sometimes it is humbling, but at the same reason, you know, they're like, okay, privacy. You don't get it.
Right.
You know, but one of the things that I think that you're going to appreciate is that when I took this group of entrepreneurs to Disney, the people that we met in lobbies at the different resorts, the cast members, we included them in our pictures because we wanted them to be part of our group. You know, we shared stories with them. And, you know, you're going to find that maybe people want to take pictures with you.
Yeah.
You know, and embrace it because you never know, you know, their child or their grandchild that's grow up and they'll eventually meet you and they'll, wow.
Exactly. Yeah.
It is. So how do people find you? Where do they go? Like a website? What's your YouTube? I mean, yes, they can find you on YouTube, but is it a specific channel?
Yeah, all my videos, I leave a description and link of all my different ways that you can contact me. YouTube.com/IncognitoMouse. I don't use them as much, but I do have other Facebook group. I have, you know, TikTok, Instagram. I don't use those as much, but they're there. Any one of my videos, except for a live stream. If you look in the description, it has all the different ways to contact me. There's an email address if you want to email me. I don't have a website necessarily yet, maybe down the line.
Might be something to consider only because, you know, yes, people can find you now on different socials, but the website, you can you know, put a blog article up. You can share your thoughts on certain things, or you can even get advertisers.
Right.
You know,
that may be a thing in the future, yeah.
And you can have your own merch.
That's true. People have already started asking me about that. When are you going to start making merchandise?
People showing up at Disney World with like a Bod Bones shirt.
Right.
You know, it could happen. I think that's just a natural evolution of you as an entrepreneur.
I agree. That's very true.
So, hey, I want to thank you for being here. And
thank you so much, Rob.
For my audience, I'll see you guys on the next episode. Adios.